During that tree planting ceremony I just was talking about, when it got to my mentor and friend Ed Lane, he talked about spending time in Sequoia National Park out in California. He mentioned in particular one tree, the largest and oldest tree in the park, the General Sherman tree. It was named after General Sherman in 1879 by the naturalist James Wolverton, who had served with Sherman in the 9th Indiana Cavalry. This tree, which is not only the largest in Sequoia National Park, but in the world, I've learned, is estimated to be about 2,000 years old. And Ed mused on stories the trees could tell, if it could talk. That tree first grew around the time Jesus was on the earth, Ed said. It would have been able to observe the thriving cultures of the Menachi and Potwisha peoples, the arrival eventually and dissolution eventually of the Kawa Cooperative Corporation, which was an experimental socialist colony that was established there in 1886. Which renamed the tree the Karl Marx tree, and which is remembered today in the name of the largest and most eco-featured residency at the local Twin Oaks community. This tree would be able to tell of Colonel Charles Young and his company of so-called Buffalo soldiers who served as caretakers of the then 13-year-old national park. And of course, it could talk about the visit of Ed and Helen Lane in more modern times. Oh, the stories that tree could tell, if only it could talk. The oldest tree in Virginia, until its death in 2008, was a bald cypress dating back 1,000 years or more. It lived in a remote swamp 80 miles southeast of Richmond. I couldn't find anything out about the tree that has since claimed that title as the oldest tree in the Commonwealth. But that tree, too, what stories it could have told, what things it had witnessed in those 1,000 years. The oldest tree in the world until 2013, the oldest individual tree in the world was Methuselah, a 4,845-year-old Great Basin bristlecone in the White Mountains of California. Now, it didn't give up its status because it had died, but rather because an even older tree had been discovered in that same region, another bristlecone pine that is 5,062 years old. By contrast, the oldest living animal, again, until recently, was Adwaita, an Aldabra giant tortoise, estimated to have been roughly 255 years old when it died. The member of our own species with the longest lifespan was Jean Calment, who died in 1997, having been born in 1875. She was 122 years, 164 days old. To put that in some perspective, she met Vincent van Gogh when she was 12 or 13. The oldest living person today is a woman from Jamaica named Violet Brown, who is 117 years old. The oldest living person today could tell stories of our history over the past 100 years or so, but the oldest tree, if it could talk, could tell tales of the past 5,000 years. Now, besides being, I hope, at least a little as interesting to you as it's been to me to learn all of this, why am I spending time on a Sunday morning giving essentially a biological history lesson? Well, I believe the trees can talk, can tell us things, and their collective longevity gives them more than a little perspective. Now, what do I mean when I say trees can talk? Well, a member of the congregation emailed me this week, having seen today's subject, and told the story of a very difficult year for his wife and himself. While he was in the hospital during that time, he was able to see a tree through the window, and he was moved to write a poem. "Outside my window is a tree, large, imposing, yet graceful. Its arms extending, reaching toward heaven. Though last month stripped of leaves, its fingers left intact provide haven for perching flocks of dark starlings, hundreds flying and landing in perfect unison against fall's backdrop of clear blue skies." Years later, while sharing this poem, someone suggested to him that the tree he was looking at, the tree that inspired that poem, was a living metaphor for him. He concluded his email saying, "I wonder if perhaps that tree at that critical point in my life did talk to me." And as I said just a moment ago to our children, every single person in that circle during that tree planting ceremony almost 25 years ago now had a story about a tree that had touched their lives. And it's not really too much of a stretch to say that taught them something important, which they've carried forward with them, sometimes for decades. Well, we've begun this year to order our liturgical cycle not only by monthly themes, and this month it's the image of a bare tree, but seasonally as well, taking in turn a category of life's big questions. For the winter, it's, why is life so full of pain and struggle, and what can we do about it? Why do people we love die? Why do dreams shatter? Why do dreams so often elude us? Simply, why is it so often so hard? So hard to live between those twin realities of being born and having to die. Well, those are questions which ultimately have no answers. No definitive, nor for most of us when we're in the midst of the struggles, fully satisfying answers. But the what can we do about it piece does. And I think one of the places we can go for those answers is, not surprisingly given what I've just been saying, trees. Trees, as the examples I've given note, are often long-lived, so they take the long view. If those trees could talk, they would tell stories of joys and sorrows, losses and gains, celebrations and consternations, hard times and good times, and they would tell us that all of these things come and go. No one experience of reality is eternal. No one experience lasts forever. And so it is with us. Our lives see this same rising and falling, ebb and flow, and whatever hard time we're going through at the moment will pass. It is as certain as the branches of the bare tree bringing forth new leaves in the springtime. It will pass. Trees would also remind us that even in those hard times, in the midst of them, not all is lost. As our poet from the midst of his hard time in his hospital bed reminded us that even the bare branches in winter time provide haven for perching flocks of dark starlings. And so, for us, even in the midst of our struggles, when it might appear that there is nothing good to be seen, there is always something to celebrate. I don't mean this in any kind of Pollyannish way, that so often glib idea that every cloud has a silver lining, which is often said as a way to make us feel as though we should forget about the hard stuff and be okay. As Monday's page of my Grumpy Cat calendar said, don't forget, every silver lining is part of a larger, darker cloud. Yet, without denying the reality of that cloud, trees tell us that even in the times of our own winter barrenness, we can be on the lookout for starlings and notice and celebrate them when we find them. Trees put down roots. Some have very shallow roots, and those are easily knocked over during powerful storms. The ones that have roots that go deep can withstand the harshest of winds. Remember, as the poet Marge Piercy noted in a poem that is at number 568 in the back of our hymnal, there's always somebody. Next Sunday, make sure you all turn off your phone. Marge Piercy noted in this poem that more than half a tree is spread out in the soil under your feet. Roots that go deep. And if we listen well to the teachings of the trees, we will sink our roots deep into the soil of our lives, deep into what grounds us and nourishes us. At the same time, though, as Taoist sages observed centuries ago, the winds of life can break a tree that is too rigid, too stiff, too solid in its place. Flexibility is a lesson we so often forget during these times. Flexibility to bend with the winds, to resist the urge to fight them, to push back, but rather to accept them as they blow, knowing that the time will come when the winds end and we can rise again. I will share one more teaching, although there are so many more, which could be a great conversation starter during the fellowship hour in the social hall following the service. You could go up to somebody and say, hey, what have trees taught you? And after listening to them for a while, you could say, well, here's something they taught me. And next thing you know, you've actually had a conversation. Fancy that. The last lesson I want to offer comes from this fact about trees that I haven't mentioned. You know those long-lived trees I talked about earlier? Well, they are individual trees. There is another type of tree, a tree that grows in colonies. Though made up of individual trunks and branches, they are considered one living organism because they share genetic markers and grow from one rootstock. The oldest colony tree is not 1,000 years old or 5,000 years old. The oldest living colony tree is, wait for it, 80,000 years old. I expected a gasp. The lesson, I hope, is obvious. Don't go along alone during those hard times. Remember that you are part of a colony. We are a colony. We are connected at our roots, at our deepest places. This community is one place we can be reminded of that shared rootedness. And hopefully that experience will point us even further to remind ourselves that we are rooted with and into and through everyone who ever was and everyone who ever will be. Don't go it alone. Be part of the colony. There are stories there are lessons. And I encourage you, as I encouraged our children today and the rest of this week and the rest of this month, this year, your life, look for trees. Listen to them. My friend Solveig, who I mentioned, talked about going and standing next to trees and putting her hands on them and listening with her mind and her heart and her spirit. And she said the trees always had something to say. Life can be hard, and it can be hard to know how to deal with it. The trees have something to teach us.